Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated, it's going to be remembered, it's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wave Break. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wave Break. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you got to get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. If you're new here, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. My name is Dylan Kelly, and I'm the founder and CEO at Wave Break. And at Wave Break, we help e-commerce brands maximize their revenue from email and build a community inside their customer base. Now more than ever, people don't want to just buy from random stores online. In fact, the dropshipping store is becoming a thing of the past. It's not performing as well as it used to, and people are craving community and they're craving brand. And one of the best ways to build that is by doubling down on your customers and doubling down on email. And what that does is it allows you to communicate your brand consistently to your customer base and feed them messages and cut through the noise where social media and the news, is just overwhelming everywhere else. We're seeing open rates increase these last few weeks and clients growing revenue month over month. And, you know, it's really crazy how powerful email is becoming, right? It's this consistent channel that's lasted the last two decades, which is really insane. And it's not going anywhere. People are, you know, still using email, and the numbers speak for themselves that we're seeing with clients. I mean, last year alone, we generated millions and millions of dollars in email revenue. This year, we're on track to do over $50 million from email for our clients. And it's just insane to do that type of number in a single year. You know, we have clients making over $1 million a month from email, and it's just crazy, and it's super powerful. And then that has nothing to do with the stuff that it's going to do on your back end. You know, when I started Wave Break back in 2016, I was actually not doing email. I didn't really know email. I wasn't an email expert. I was a generic marketer. I actually have a bit of a design background doing web design. I kind of come from the typical internet marketing background. So I started out doing started with MySpace layouts and eventually graduated to some internet marketing forums I found back in the day, and, you know, pushed a bunch of random affiliate products to get started, like I know many of you have. And then from there, I realized that paid advertising wasn't my strong suit, but I was really good at optimizing ads traffic. So I built a CRO company. By company, I mean I was a CRO freelancer. Wave Break at the time was just me, a little consultancy back in 2016. Started it in my bedroom. And I slowly but surely got my first client and, you know, was working with a few cool brands. I started with some smaller stores and eventually landed a really cool brand that was really big on Instagram at the time. That's the main reason why I wanted to start Wave Break, was I wanted to work with these cool brands and entrepreneurs that I saw on social media just crushing it with influencer marketing, back in 2016. And And so I made my pitch, and I landed this really cool client who was a really successful brand at the time, you know, up and coming, growing fast on social media, doing a lot of Facebook advertising, spending, you know, they had that six-figure Facebook ads budget. And my job, they hired me to come in and optimize their site and help them increase their conversions. What ended up happening was their ads just stopped converting. They stopped being able to send profitable traffic to their website, and they had to turn them off. And as a result, you know, I got a text one day, and they're like, "Hey, Dylan, you know, can you talk?" And I was like, "Oh no, this isn't good." And I remember I was at the store at the time. I think I was at like a Five and Below or something. I don't know why I remember that. That's like probably the only time I've ever been in a Five and Below. I don't know why I was there, but I was there. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm out right now, but let's hop on a call when I get back. So I get back and we hop on a call, and, you know, I get the unfortunate news that their ads stopped converting. And they're basically like, you know, this means we're going to have to, you know, cancel your services. And at the time, you know, they were like my only client, not my only client, but they were my biggest client. So like, they were paying all my bills. And that sucked. And I was like, dang, man, this sucks. And they sent me some product. Like, that was cool, but, you know, it still sucks when that happens. And I knew that there had to be a better way, because it didn't just suck for me. It stuck for them. They spent years building this store, and it's not like they were a small brand. They were spending six figures per month on Facebook ads, which is, you know, a lot of money just to spend on advertising. And they're doing significant revenue, but overnight it just dropped. And that's something that we're seeing nowadays. Like, Facebook's just not reliable, and it changes so much, and we never know what's going to happen in the future. And I went around and I experimented with everything from SEO back into affiliate stuff, social media, everything. And I stumbled across email, and I doubled down on it in 2017, about a year after I initially started Wavebreak. And that's when I realized, holy crap, this email stuff is powerful. And what's crazy is, like, started applying this to businesses, and it gave the business owners a ton of certainty and confidence in their business, because they were no longer just 100% reliant on Facebook. And as a result, they started to build a real company that's surrounded by, you know, multiple different marketing channels. And it also allowed them to scale their ads to the next level, because they're getting higher lifetime values and more repeat orders out of their customers. And the result of that on your business can easily double or triple your business. Right? There's a lot of factors that go into that, but our clients regularly double and triple their business, and they're still growing month over month to this day because of that. And they're confident knowing to move forward this year, knowing that they have a secure channel to rely on. And if you want to learn more about applying this to your business, listen, I don't do sales calls. I do discovery calls. And what that means is, we're just going to hop on a call, just like I hop on this podcast with people, and we're just going to talk. We're going to talk about your business and talk about what opportunities lie out there. Talk about what you're struggling with. I mean, I've talked with over 100 people on this podcast. I talk to people every single day in e-commerce. I know what's working. I have an insane pulse on what's going on in the marketplace because of my position. And at the very least, you'll walk away with that insight, right? And if we end up working together, great. If we can help you, you know, I'll make that offer. But if not, I'm not even going to offer it to you. You can ask people. Like, I send people away all the time. We're selective about who we work with, because we have an insane success rate. We have a 99.9% success rate. And, you know, that's just because of how selective we are with our clients and how much I believe in our services. And I'm all about giving value, and I want to give back to you. So if you want to hop on a discovery call with me one-on-one, yep, just like this, I'm a real human. I'm not just a podcast voice. You can book that at wavebreak.co/call. There's a little pre-questionnaire that you got to fill out, but that'll set us up to have a really great conversation in as little time as possible, because I know you're busy, I'm busy, and that'll just set the frame on the convo, so we can go in and we can just jump right into the details and get you on track to your goals and where you need to be. And I'll even pump you up a little bit, get you motivated, just like I do on this podcast. But yeah, check that out. We also have a bunch of free resources as well at wavebreak.co/resources. Get on our private email list. We send out a bunch of stuff we don't publish publicly. So make sure you're on that if you're not, and book that call if you're interested. But anyway, I digress. This is a really exciting time to be an entrepreneur, and I'm really excited for this episode. I'm joined by Mehdi Farsi, co-founder of State Bicycle Company. We talk about how they've been driving growth during these crazy times. And we also talk about their plans for the rest of 2020. And one of my favorite things we talk about is, like, we're not just talking about the timely stuff, but we're also going to talk about the tried and true topics. One of my favorite we talk about is brand collaborations. They've collaborated with some really iconic brands. They've done a bike with Fruit Loops, Rick and Morty. They've got some stuff coming out. They've collaborated with The Simpsons. We talk about how they've landed those deals. They've collaborated in, with some hip-hop figures and really cool stuff. So, I mean, we talk about a ton of stuff, and it's a really good listen for somebody who's trying to build a big e-commerce brand. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Maddie.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. I'm super excited to talk today. But before we dive into that, can you just tell us a little bit about your background and give us a brief overview of State Bicycle Company?
Yeah, absolutely. Cycling has been a huge passion and something that has really been a part of myself and the other co-founder, Reza, my brother. It's been a part of our life since we were kids. So, you know, we remember growing up and watching the Tour de France on TV with our dad, who always liked bikes. And, you know, much like a lot of kids, spent a lot of times just outside riding around the neighborhood with friends, and all of that. And we started the company in 2009. So we just passed our, it was late 2009, started selling bikes in March, April of 2010. So we're right at that 10-year anniversary, which is pretty crazy to think about. And really, there were a few things that kind of got us into it. So one, around 2006, 2007, we started noticing a lot of our friends getting into fixed gear bikes. That's when it started getting really popular, and noticed just the really clean lines and the way people were customizing them with just all the variety of parts and colors you can get into. And just we wanted to get some bikes for ourselves. And when we were trying to do that, we noticed that it wasn't really that straightforward. You couldn't go into a shop and pick out a fixed gear bike right off the shelf. You know, there might be one specialty shop in our town where you could buy the frame. Somewhere else you would have to buy the wheels. Maybe you'd have to buy the crank online. And by the time that you put it all together and did all the research, not only did you spend a lot of time doing so, but also the cost was added up pretty quickly. You're around $1,200 plus to put a bike like that together at that time. So we were running a furniture import business, something that we both started together when we were in college. And then as we graduated, we kept running it. And through some of our connections in Asia, in terms of sourcing and manufacturing, we decided, hey, let's see if we can put together a couple of samples of these bikes that we're really interested in. So we went and we spent about, I would say 10 months to 15 months going back and forth, trips to Asia, working with our manufacturers, got some bikes, and they were for ourselves, but really quickly after that, you know, people that would see us riding them around or, you know, see the pictures that we were posting on social media, the early stages of social media, they were interested. And then we kind of realized it was maybe a good time to get into the business of bikes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember the first time I saw my first fixed gear bike. I mean, it was probably like 10 years ago, similar time when you started the company. But
sure.
I saw some guy just like standing on it at an intersection, you know, like balancing.
And yeah,
I
was like a track stand, sure.
Yeah, I'm like, how the heck did he do that? And I went home and I tried on my bike and I'm like, what the heck? Like, how'd he do it? And then later I ran into somebody else with a fixed gear that like, hey, try this out. And I didn't even know how to ride it. I'm like, wait, the pedals keep moving. What is this? Like, I feel like I'm like riding a like an old beach cruiser or something. But
yeah,
super cool stuff. And yeah, it's really blown up in the last few years. And I'm curious, like, based on like, I mean, you guys have been in business for a long time, which is awesome. Like, where have you grown the business to now, if you can somehow share the size of the company?
Yeah, so we're doing, you know, roughly about 20,000 bikes per year between our online channel in the U.S., our online channels in Europe, and also through several hundred independently owned brick and mortar shops, like mom and pop bike shops throughout the world. So that's where we're at right now in terms of product offerings. You know, that first fixed gear bike that I touched on that we were developing in the early stages of the company, we still have that line. That's basically our 4130 fixed gear and single speed line. Price point has remained very similar to where we started, but quality wise, we've just made, you know, incremental improvements almost every year since we've gotten them, based off of customer feedback and just having more resources at our disposal. We also have several other bike lines now. So we have, you know, something we call the core line that's really focused on, you know, people on a budget at $299. It's the best bike you can buy at that price point. I can confidently say that. And then we also have many bikes at all kinds of higher price points, bikes that are made out of different types of materials, such as aluminum, carbon fiber, fork offerings. We have some kind of relaxed cruiser style bikes in our city bike collection. And most recently, we've gotten into some road bike offerings as well for people that maybe want to either ride not as recreationally, more maybe in like a fitness or competitive setting, or even people who want to commute, but maybe their commute is a little bit more hilly in their area where they live.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one thing I want to touch on too is just like the timing of this episode. So this is going to come out in a few weeks probably, but we're recording it on Friday, March 27th. And this has been a really interesting month. It's been a really interesting last couple weeks. And I'm curious, like, what are you seeing on your end? Like, you're in the bike business. A lot of people are shut inside. Interesting trends in e-commerce right now. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, so you know, it's kind of like multifaceted in what we're seeing in terms of effects. I mean, first, we were seeing it very early on, a couple of months ago with the coronavirus spread in Asia initially. Much of our supply chain lives in China and Taiwan. So, you know, there was some difficulty on that side of things in terms of, you know, supply side, delay in orders and just really communication with businesses over there closing, because they were definitely a couple of months in advance from us. And then, you know, on
that
our
combined
end,
with like Chinese New Year, that was tricky.
It was too. We kind of anticipated the Chinese New Year. That's usually a slowdown for us in terms of production annually. But this, you know, on top of it, extended that. So
yeah, nobody
definitely
was expecting
a lot of
that
orders
extra month.
And product. Yeah, product releases that we had in queue were delayed, and you know, we might run, you know, pretty low in certain stock of more popular items and everything, but by and large, these are minor problems, you know, on the business side of things. You know, on the other side, you know, on the customer demand side, you know, we have experienced definitely some more demand for our products. It seems like our product just, and the way we sell it online, is a good fit for people at this time. So one, very affordable price point. Definitely everyone's watching their money more tightly right now. So compared to kind of the more traditional bike brands, we're a lot more affordable. Two, we deliver direct. So again, you know, if certain stores are closed or you want to avoid them, it's a great way to shop for a bike. And then three, I think just cycling in general, whether it's for commuting or for recreation or for health purposes, environmental purposes, it's a great time to be doing it right now. You know, the gym is closed, yoga class is closed, spin class is closed. If your place of work or school is still open, and you rely on public transport, we love public transport, by the way. It's great. We're all environmentalists here, but it is crowded, let's face it. Depending on the city, it's crowded, and you know, if you're trying to avoid people, not the best place to be. So we have seen an increase in demand. And then, you know, the third thing is myself, my brother, we're in our early 30s. We started this business when we were in our early 20s. So we're in that millennial age demographic. And we're seeing is a lot of millennials now are older. They're starting families, they're having kids, and we're seeing them, you know, spend hours on end at home with their families. And what's a good activity to do when, you know, you don't want to go to the park, or maybe you don't want to go to the pizza place that you take the kids to on Fridays? Well, family goes on a bike ride all together. And so we're seeing demand there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Have you guys updated your messaging at all to like communicate for these times?
We have. So we have definitely, we want to make sure our primary goal isn't really like, let's go sell out a bunch of bikes right now at this time. Like, we don't want to be opportunistic, but we do want to be there for those customers that do need us as guides. How can we promote cycling in a safe environment? So, you know, don't call up a bunch of buddies and go out on a group ride, for example. Like, let's go ahead and go on those solo rides. If you are riding, let's be as safe as possible right now. The last thing anyone needs is unnecessary visit to any hospital or doctor right now. They have enough, the medical professionals have enough on their plate to deal with at right. this time. So if you are riding, helmets is a must, you know. I'm someone who likes to listen to music or a podcast when I ride, but don't have those over-the-ear headphones on. If you are wearing earbuds, you know, one in, one out, volume low, so you can listen to the street sounds and keep yourself safe. If you're riding in the evening, lights are a must. You know, don't wear black clothing. Wear something highly visible so that cars can see you. Again, we want everyone to be safe. These are good tips at any time, but especially now, we really, really want our friends and our customers to take care of themselves and be super aware.
Yeah, no, that's great advice, because we definitely don't need any more unnecessary people to go in with a broken arm or something right now with everything going on. But yeah, I love that messaging that you guys are going with right now. And I'm curious, like, with what's happening now in the landscape, like, are you changing your strategy up at all for the rest of 2020? Like, as far as like marketing goes and the different angles and just your like strategy for the growing the company?
You know, in terms of strategy, we're still a relatively young and small but growing company. So we've always been kind of forced to be dynamic. And I think not only us, but kind of every company right now has to be as fluid as possible and ready to pivot and change, you know, as news comes. I mean, I think like 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, even people were really downplaying what was going to happen. You know, as things unfold, situation might get more serious. The situation might become less serious. We just don't know. It's just being really flexible and trying to be really fluid with things. You know, certain things like new product releases, you know, might get pushed back, or, you know, we have to be a little bit more flexible with those certain things. And then also, you know, from economic standpoint, we don't know how long some of these closures are going to be, how, you know, that's going to affect people, you know, who are out of work. Because ultimately, you know, if you're off work for 1 or 2 weeks, it might be fun to buy a new bike and go ride. But if it's something that, you know, you're losing your work and your income for an indefinite amount of time, how does that affect us? That's something that we're closely monitoring, and, you know, we want to be smart in terms of product releases and budget spend there, so that we can conserve if there is a downturn.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's take a quick break to talk about screwing up. Listen, accidents happen. Maybe you installed an app in your Shopify store and it messed up your theme, or a CSV import wrecked your product catalog. And there's this common myth that when things go wrong, Shopify can just help you, and they have this magic undo button that they can apply to your account and fix everything. But that's not true. Shopify can't do that. So what do you do? Well, you need to use Rewind to protect your store with automatic backups. It's like having your very own magic undo button. And best of all, if you sign up at rewind.io and respond to any of their welcome emails, because they're a sponsor of the podcast, all you got to do is mention the Wavebreak podcast and they'll get you your first month for free. So go check Rewind out at rewind.io.
And I'm curious, like, to kind of flip the script a little bit, what are you most excited about right now? Like, what opportunities are you looking forward to the most the rest of the year and as we get into 2020 even more?
Yeah, I mean, I think just generally speaking, you know, with the pandemic kind of aside, some of the things that we were the most excited about, and, you know, we still have plenty of 2020 left in order to execute these, are really our shift into geared offerings. So for 10 years now, State Bicycle Company has been really almost solely focused on fixed gear and single speed bikes. There's a variety of reasons for that. Price, you know, clean aesthetic, low maintenance, reliability, etc. But we're trying to take that same approach and broaden our market a bit by offering our geared bikes. So just this January, late January, early February, we launched our Undefeated road bike, which is like our performance road bike. And then later on this year, we're planning on releasing other geared launches within the other lines of bikes that we have. So there'll be a 6061, which is kind of our mid-tier aluminum frame. There'll be a 6061 all-road bike. So it's going to be a great bike for both road and gravel, which is, gravel is a huge segment in cycling right now that is blowing up. So we're really excited about that. But that doesn't mean that we don't have exciting things in the work for our fixed gear and single speed customers too. One of the things that we're most well known for at State Bicycle is our collaboration. So we have two really cool limited edition collaborations, which will be bikes, it'll be clothing, it'll be parts and accessories. And, you know, one of those is with Cartoon Network for the Rick and Morty
Oh, wow. That's
series.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then another one is going to be completely unrelated, but still cool. So we're all children of the 90s. We grew up listening to hip hop quite a bit. We did a 20th anniversary bike with the Wu-Tang back in 2013. And we're doing another hip hop collab with the Notorious B.I.G. estate. So we're really excited about that.
That's
he
awesome.
Is going to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame later this summer. That's the plan. So in order to kind of commemorate that and pay homage to one of the most influential artists that we know of, we're going to be releasing some Notorious B.I.G. bikes, and we've been in talks with the people who manage his estate, including his son, and they're all really excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are two really awesome collaborations. Like, how do you, like, who starts that conversation? Do these companies reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? Because, like, those are some really cool, I guess they're not all companies, but, you know, really cool collaborations to work on.
I mean, we've approach them a number of different ways. So some of them are really serendipitous. I'll give you the Wu-Tang bike, for example. You know, this was probably back in 2011, 2012. We were invited to the Agenda trade show, which is like mostly like streetwear, and to do some custom bikes for them. And they were on display and they were raffling them off. And, you know, it was the end of the day. We went to go put the bikes in storage, and I was wheeling it through the trade show, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and this guy is just like, "Yo, man, that bike is dope. Let me get that." And I was like, you know, we were getting compliments like this all day. You know, "This bike is cool. Let me get it. Come on. I don't want to get the raffle. Let me give you, you know, $500. Let me get it." So we're getting this all day. So I didn't think much. Like, I was like, "Thanks, man," whatever. And then, and the guy introduced himself. "My name is Power. You know, I founded the Wu-Tang Clan." I was like, "Power? I don't remember Power as a rapper, but let me go Google this, get on my phone, Google it." Turns out it's like legit. He was like basically the founder, producer of early on Wu-Tang Clan. So like an opportunity like that, just kind of like right place, right time. I was wheeling a black and gold bike through a trade show, and the right guy saw it. Other ones have been like inbound. You know, people have called us. So we did one really cool one with Kellogg's last year. They were doing kind of a promotion for Fruit Loops. They realized that, you know, Gen Z and millennials that are in college and young adults are a big market for them, and they eat cereal still. So we did something like that with Fruit Loops last, that was probably about 2 years ago now. And then, you know, some are just like, we know for a fact that we like love a brand or a property, and we just kind of go after and get it. So, The Simpsons was one where I just like really wanted to make a Bart Simpson bike so bad, and like knocked on doors and called and emailed, and we like eventually got to talk to the right people and pitch it to them and made that happen. So variety of ways. Some are organic, some we kind of like chase down, some just kind of come to us. But it's something that we really enjoy. It's something that broadens our audience. So we're pulling an audience of, you know, let's say The Simpsons, for example, we're pulling them in, Simpsons fans, but we're also, offering something really cool and unique to our audience. Not something that you often see, traditionally in the bike industry at all.
Well, I was just going to say, like, it's like the most kind of random collaboration. Like, you know, you don't think of like, "Oh, what if we did a Fruit Loops bike?" Or "What if we did a Simpsons bike?" Like, you know, you kind of think of it, but I think that's so cool, especially for a brand of your size. That's like, you know, it's not too small, but it's still up and coming. It's not like you're running, you know, like one of the top competitors that's been around for like 50 or 100 years.
Sure. And I think that like the size of our company kind of just like lets us operate in just kind of a unique way. You know, we grew up as outsiders of the bike industry. We had no idea how it worked. I mean, the bike industry now, you know, you have big names like Specialized, Trek, Giant. They all make awesome bikes. I'm a huge fan of their products. They're all great, but I mean, it's just so old school in the way they operate. If you wanted, let's say, you know, a Giant bicycle, you couldn't go out online and really customize it. You have to go through a shop. You might go to the shop. The inventory is out of stock. They don't have what you want. We had no idea this is how it operated. We had no idea of that business model. We just knew, like, e-commerce. We knew we wanted to make some cool-looking bikes. You know, we're big pop culture fans. We like streetwear. We like sneakers. We see how those companies like Nike or whatever streetwear brand that we're wearing at the time operates, and they're doing limited edition, they're doing collab, they're doing stuff that's exciting. And that's really how we wanted to operate. No one was doing that in the bicycle space. And still really, like, there really aren't many companies that are still doing that even.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. I love, like, the idea of, like, taking inspiration. Like, we're an agency, but I try to do that with, like, our internal merch and the same stuff where it's, like, I don't want to be, like, a typical boring company. Like, if I'm going to make a shirt, I want it to not just be a logo. Like, I think you guys do really cool merch too, and like different hats
Thank
and
you.
Stuff. I think I remember seeing like you guys did a 5-panel like a while
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Like that was sick. I think that's the first time I ever came across you. I just saw like just the hat. But I think that's super cool. Like, I'm curious, like, what's the merch side or like the clothing side of your business like? Is it like a big driver? Is it more kind of a retention thing, or how do you see that? Because you have a lot of like, you know, really sweet clothing pieces. Like, how's that work in your business?
Volume wise, we do pretty well. It's just like, I guess as a percentage of like revenue, it's still pretty small just because I don't know, shirts and hats are a fraction of the cost of, you know, a bike, right. But
like
they
5
do
to
well.
10% of a bike. Yeah.
Do well. You know, if I'm out in Tempe, which is like our home base here, like it's not uncommon for us to see bikes. It's still cool when I see like anyone riding our stuff, but if someone's wearing like a state hat or a state shirt, like I know they're like a fan and they're down, and that like really excites me. Now if I'm like out of state, if I'm like in California or Las Vegas or wherever, and I see someone on one of our bikes or one of our wearing one of our clothing items, then I get like super stoked. Like, I know it exists. I see it on social media all the time, but just seeing it in person, like, that's pretty awesome for me, even to this day.
Yeah, that is awesome, seeing it in person. I always, like, hear stories about, like, music artists hearing their music for the first time on the radio
Word.
Coming out of someone
Sure.
else's car or something, and I'm like, oh, I can't imagine what that must feel like, or, like, hearing someone else listening to your music. I imagine it's the same with, like, seeing your merch around and your clothing around. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one last thing I wanted to talk about before we start to wrap up here is like, you sell bikes. They're not necessarily like something where it's like, hey, let me buy a bike every few months. Like, what do you guys do to drive retention, and what's your strategy around like maximizing lifetime value from your customers?
Sure. So I think that is a great question. And I mean, there's a few different ways we do it. So one, we want to make durable goods. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Like, if you buy one of our bikes, we don't want you to buy another bike because you had to replace it. If you buy another bike because you just wanted another bike, that's great. But we want to make sure our goods last and people can upgrade them over time. So if you start at the $299 price point because you're just getting into cycling, maybe after a year you realize, hey, I want to go faster, I want to go further, and you start researching other options. So I myself experienced the whole like cycling rabbit hole. It's not dissimilar to golf, for example, where people are always tinkering, people are always customizing, or even custom cars for that matter. People are always changing out different parts to get a little bit of an advantage, or changing even for an aesthetic change. So we can drive like that, upgrade, and some things you just need to replace over time: tires, tubes, chain, bar tape, saddle, things like that that kind of wear out over time. So that's one way we do it. Other is, again, we think of ourselves as kind of like a gateway into the world of cycling, especially at that $299 price point. So a lot of different bike options to grow from there. Maybe you want to start getting into off-road riding. That's why we're really excited to release some of our gravel bikes and more off-road riding for different type of rider, and even for our current customers, just giving them a different experience. That's something that we grow. And then again, with like the clothing, helmets, lights, locks, all of those things are necessary. Those are things that you want to get often, especially if you're riding often. We do limited edition runs with jerseys. We do different types of times a year. So one of our big promotions is 420, and every year we do a 420 jersey, and that sells out like the same day. So that's just like little cool little surprises and everything to get the customers coming back and excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And then I was really interested in hearing your strategy, just because like I like how you move people kind of up the line. So like, you know, if they're just starting out or their needs change, you're kind of there for them for that, you know, in the bike space. And then, like I've been saying the whole time, I think your clothing strategy is really great too, because it's not just like, hey, here's a shirt with our logo on it. Like, it's actually really good stuff. So I think that's great. But yeah, we're running out of time here. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, despite these busy times, crazy times. As we wrap up here, where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
Our website, our main website is statebicycle.com, Instagram at statebicycleco. And if you're in the UK or Europe, statebicycle.co.uk or statebicycle.eu, we'll be able to take care of you. But we're pretty active on social, so I think and Instagram is the way to go. And then if you are stuck at home with nothing to do, and you ran through all your favorite Netflix shows, hit up our YouTube channel. We have a great web series, Riding Fixed Up Mountains with Pros, where we interview pro cyclists and climb up a mountain on fixed gear bikes. So it's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll link that all up down in the show notes below. Really appreciate you taking time to come on the show, Mehdi.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.